Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at 8 o'clock. I'm watching backups in three spots around the Triangle. I'll show you the extent of the delays and how to get around them.
And it's cold as you step out the door. Lots of beautiful sunshine, but our temperatures are mostly near freezing. I'll show you when temperatures climb above normal coming up.
And the search is on for a person who fired shots at a moving Jeep, causing it to crash in Wake County. What radio traffic reveals about the moments before the gunfire?
A plane wing coming apart midair. What happened when a passenger looked out his window and saw this damage? Another scary moment on a flight. We'll explain exactly what happened there. We're glad you're with us here as we get our Wednesday rolling. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Thanks for joining us. Halfway through the week, we made it. Yeah. Halfway through.
Never a doubt.
Never a doubt we were going to make it to Wednesday. A chilly Wednesday, kind of a rinse and repeat of yesterday. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a beautiful look over Roxborough. Sunny and gorgeous, but cold.
Yeah, so pretty out here. Just a little bit of light wind, but beautiful blue skies. Our temperatures have been near freezing. Right now in the Triangle, it's 33. We have just a light wind out of the northeast at 3 miles per hour. But for the last few hours, the wind chills have felt like 20s almost everywhere. Right now it is 28 in Roxborough. That's our coldest spot on the map. 33 in the Triangle, as well as Southern Pines and Goldsboro. Temperatures are starting to creep up just a little bit. It's 36 in Fayetteville, 35 in Clinton. Hour by hour, it'll be a mild afternoon. Temperatures near normal in the upper 50s, feeling very much like yesterday. Our temperatures in the evening will be in the 50s and then falling through the 40s. Looking tomorrow at a much warmer day as our winds start to shift to southerly. I'll show you what's going to create that shift and when we'll likely see some rain with our next front coming up. Brian?
Elizabeth, it is 8:02 right now and we are following those big backups in three spots around the Triangle. We're going to start off in Knightdale with a crash on 87 southbound just before you get to Smithfield Road. We have the left lane blocked, also some activity there in the median. We're up to a 20-minute delay right now on that ride from 64 Business out to the 440 interchange. As we zoom into that area, you'll see that almost all of those backups are confined to the section of 87 southbound between the Wendell Falls Parkway area just before you get to Wendell Falls Parkway down to just before you get to Smithfield Road. If you can pick up 87 southbound from Smithfield Road or from 540, you're in good shape all the way back toward the Beltline. We'll watch those sensors, let you know how that situation is developing. Also, between Cary and Apex, a crash right now on 64 eastbound, right around that US 1 Tryon Road interchange. Heavy delays on 64 eastbound beginning right around the Salem Street exit. Exit through Laura Duncan Road out toward US 1. Going to take a while, even after they get that crash cleared, to get that traffic back to normal, just because that is such a busy section of 64. If you're in Wake County, remember, you can listen to us on the radio at 99.3 FM on your way to work or school. I'll give you live traffic updates there as our live newscast continues on the radio. Over on the east side of Durham, we're watching some heavy backups on 70 because of a crash right around the Miami Boulevard intersection. Heavy delays on the westbound and eastbound sides. Also some heavy southbound delays on Sharon Road approaching that intersection this morning. And unfortunately, there are not many great alternate routes because 885 is so congested in both directions. About an 8-minute delay on either side this morning between I-40 up to I-85. You can listen to us on the radio in Durham County as well at 96.5 FM. I'll have another live traffic update coming up in a few minutes.
This is the wild one on the roads here. This morning, a person fired shots at a vehicle, causing it to crash, and then took off. That person is on the run. Mitchell Mill Road near Rollsville is where it was shut down in the early morning hours. WRL's Laura Levine is now with Wake County Sheriff's Office, where two people were hurt out of this crash slash shooting. Laura.
We are here at the Wake County Sheriff's Office where that investigation continues. Broadcastify radio traffic is giving us a better idea of what may have happened, indicating that a road rage and street racing could have played a factor. Take a look at some of that video from the scene where you can see multiple crews responding. The Wake County Sheriff's Office says shots were fired at a vehicle on Mitchell Mill Road near Roseville around 8 o'clock last night. The Sheriff's Office and the Roseville Police Department responded to the report of a vehicle hit by gunfire, which crashed while traveling west. A Jeep Wrangler and a dark-colored SUV were traveling on that road when the shots were fired at the Jeep, causing the vehicle to drive off the road and flip onto its side. Take a listen to this Broadcastify radio traffic detailing the situation.
The crews are actually evaluating her right now. This apparently was a road rage incident in which they were shot at. So they are trying to evaluate her right now to make sure that she doesn't have any gunshot wounds.
The driver and the passenger of that Jeep were taken to a nearby hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. They sustained those injuries from the crash, not from the shooting. At this time, that driver, the person who fired the shots, still on the run. So anyone with information is asked to give the Wake County Sheriff's Office a call. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
Additional law enforcement will be at a Moore County middle school today after students went home early yesterday because of a bomb threat. Officials say they received the threat to Cranes Creek Middle School at 2:45 yesterday afternoon, just 15 minutes before regular dismissal. All students and staff evacuated the building as police searched that campus. Students were sent home without being allowed back inside. The school district will have a support team at the school today for any students or staff who may need it.
A 33-year-old man is facing a murder charge after a shooting in Raleigh. Pacheco Valentin is his name. He was arrested last night after the shooting on North New Hope Road. Sky 5 flew over that scene yesterday at the Lexington Apartments, which are right near the intersection of Capitol Boulevard. Police responded just before 11:30 in the morning and found a woman with serious gunshot wounds. She later died, and it's still not clear what led to that shooting.
COVID, flu, and RSV cases in some area hospitals are down, but concern is still high about the illnesses spreading. Today, we'll get an update on the current trends in the state. WRL's Kelsey Coffey tells us we may have passed the peak of the season.
We checked in with UNC, Duke, and Wake Med hospitals about their latest numbers. Here at Wake Med, less than 80 people are hospitalized for COVID, flu, and RSV combined. New numbers will be released from the state later today. Wake Med has 63 COVID hospitalizations, the highest out of all three of those hospitals. It's down from 67 last month. UNC Health is reporting COVID hospitalizations have increased to 33, up from 30 last month. Duke Health is reporting the largest decrease in COVID hospitalizations from last month to this month. 30 hospitalizations this week compared to 45 last month. Dr. Daniel Park with the Pediatric Emergency Department at UNC Medical Center has a message for parents this morning. He says, don't send your child to school if they have a fever.
If they're having active symptoms and, you know, and they have a fever, please keep them home so that we can prevent the spread across larger populations.
Dr. Park says although cases are trending downward, we're still not out of the woods. He says hospital capacity is still a major concern for them. Those state numbers should be released later this afternoon. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
Educators at high-need schools in Wake County will be eligible for more bonuses. The school board approved a new program called Project Leaders. It could mean thousands more dollars for teachers, assistant principals, and principals, and they'd also have access to more money for training and teacher education. The new program is designed to improve education and employee retention. It would be for 24 low-income, lower-performing schools. You can find out more about the program and who is eligible by going to the education section of WRAL.com.
Raleigh City Council is cutting back on a costly project to make Six Forks Road safer near the North Hills area. The council voted unanimously to widen part of Six Forks Road from 2 to 3 lanes in each direction with a median to separate traffic. This project has been on the table for more than a decade, but the cost more than tripled in that time. The council decided to only widen 1 mile between Rowan Street and Millbrook Road. The original project would have taken the expansion up to Lynn Road, which would have cost a lot more. The city expects construction to start in the spring of 2026, and it'll take about 2 years to complete.
A new hint this morning as to who former President Donald Trump would pick as his running mate if chosen as the Republican presidential nominee. Trump participated in a Fox News town hall last night in Greenville, South Carolina, just 3 days ahead of that state's Republican primary. Moderator Laura Ingraham touched on a number of topics, including the qualities he looks for in a vice presidential running mate.
Well, always the first quality has to be somebody that you think will be a good president, because if something should happen, you have to have somebody that's going to be a great president. A lot of people are talking about that gentleman right over there. I watched his campaign.
He was pointing to South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, who endorsed Trump over Nikki Haley. Trump also confirmed he would commit to a debate when it comes down to the final Republican versus the final Democrat. He also commented on the death of Alexei Navalny, saying it is a very sad situation.
Coming up, some people in Dunn have been calling for the retirement of one of their police dogs. Why Dunn police say canine Pac-Man will stay on the force, coming up next.
And for many of us, it is easy to take work home. Just ahead, why researchers say fully detaching from work in our free time could actually make us better workers.
And we're looking at sunshine today. Temperatures will be cooler in the upper 50s. Looking at warm temperatures Thursday and Friday in the mid-60s, but Friday will feature some showers. I'll show you the timeline coming up.
Eight 13 is the time right now on your Wednesday morning. I've always wanted to take a little walk right out on Goldston's Pier right there. And White Lake, as you're looking live right now, a little ripple to the water, maybe a little bit of a breeze out there. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRF Severe Weather Center right now. We do have that sunshine. It is clear, cold, and if that wind kicks up, it'll be wind chill, right?
Yeah, we've had wind chill this morning in the 20s, really widespread across the area. We're starting to see the temperatures themselves warm up a little bit, so we're coming out of the 20s with the wind chill, but it's no joke out there. It's cold. It looks beautiful. Goldsboro seeing blue skies, so it's Apex, Chapel Hill, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and there in Fayetteville in front of our newsroom, all looking good. Of course, we get into Friday, and our next system rolls in with a chance of showers. Ahead of this front, temperatures are going to warm up into the mid-60s. Behind the front, we're back into the 50s, and that's what we'll see over the weekend. Our best chance of rain will be Thursday night into the first half of Friday with very low rainfall totals, looking at a quarter of an inch or less. Here's a look at what's happening right now. This is the system that's going to roll on in here and bring us that chance of rain Thursday night and Friday. Notice there's not much precipitation with it. Again, it'll be fairly moisture-starved. We'll start to see the clouds thickening up late Thursday. There's Thursday at 5 p.m. We'll stop it there at 7:30 and may see a few isolated showers on Thursday night. This is a new run of the computer model that we are waiting on. Yep, right on time there at 8:15. So the last version of FutureCast had a better chance for rain on Thursday night. This has a better chance of rain during the day Friday, which makes a lot more sense than the run that we saw before. So an isolated shower Thursday night. This is 4 a.m. on Friday. We'll pause it at 6 a.m. Likely to be a bit of a messy commute. We're going to see just a few showers that roll through between, say, 5 and 8 o'clock, and then after that we clear out, so we'll see some sunshine on Friday afternoon, and that may not feel too bad, but our winds will shift to south to northwesterly again, and we'll start to see some of the cooler air filtering in. So once again, a chance of a shower late on Thursday into the first half of Friday. Friday afternoon, the front moves out and skies begin to clear. It will be clear Friday night, but watch what happens Saturday. Another front drops in on us from the north. We may start to see a few showers late Saturday. The front comes through and we dry out on Sunday. Our rain chances on Saturday, minimum, it's about a 20% to 30% chance. And on Friday, it's a 50% chance. I think we'll see just that one band that comes through early in the morning. For both days total, Friday and Saturday, we're looking at a quarter of an inch or less. So again, very little rainfall comes with this, but it will be on the gray side. And temperatures will be up and down from 58 today to mid-60s Thursday and Friday. Behind the front, Saturday and Sunday is cooler in the 50s. And then we bounce back into the upper 60s on Monday and Tuesday. Indications are that we'll see some warm temperatures for much of next week, but also some more unsettled weather. We'll be tracking it as we get closer, Brian.
It is 8:16, Elizabeth. Let's take a look at traffic, starting off with that crash on 87 southbound at Smithfield Road in Knightdale. You can see all that activity there in the median. It looks like the left lane is open now, but with that activity in the median, you need to keep that in mind. There could be some flashing lights as police respond to that. If there is, you just need to slow down considerably if you're not able to move over at least one lane. 20-minute delay showing up right now on 87 southbound between 64 Business and the 440 interchange. If you're coming in from the Wendell area and you use 87 southbound, expect backups from just before you get to Wendell Falls Parkway to just before you get to the Smithfield Road area. Pick it up from Smithfield Road or 540, and 87 southbound is looking fine heading into East Raleigh. Also, still tracking this crash in Cary with those delays on 64 eastbound away from the Laura Duncan Road intersection back toward the US 1 interchange, solidly backed up through there. So allow extra time around Lake Pine Drive this morning. We'll head over to Durham, where we're still watching the backups on 70 at Miami Boulevard. It looks like the westbound delays have started to ease up a little bit, but we're still seeing some very heavy eastbound delays from the 885 interchange back toward Miami Boulevard, and still seeing those heavy backups on southbound Sharon Road approaching US 70 this morning. And we're still watching heavy backups on 885, especially on that northbound side with a 10-minute delay, especially from the I-40 interchange up toward TW Alexander Drive. Also seeing a little bit of a southbound delay around the 147 merge, about a 6-minute backup overall.
All right. Thank you, Brian. We have an update in last week's deadly shooting following the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. Two men, Dominic Miller and Lindell Mays, who you see on your screen right now, are facing a second degree murder charge and several other felony counts. Radio DJ Lisa Lopez Galvin was killed in that shooting. At least 22 others were hurt. Prosecutors say verbal dispute between Mays and a stranger led to shots fired at that parade.
That argument very quickly escalated to Mays drawing his firearm, a handgun, almost immediately. Others pulled their firearms.
And police are still not sure how many people pulled out a weapon. Police say they're still investigating with the hopes of finding additional shooters. Officials also ask for anyone hurt while trying to escape to come forward, as Miller and Mays could face additional charges. The two are both being held on a $1 million bond.
It was quite a scare for passengers on board a United Airlines flight that was diverted to Denver. Take a look at what happened shortly after that flight took off from San Francisco. It was headed for Boston, and a passenger noticed a wing slat shredding in midair. Those wing slats are movable panels on the front or edge of the wing there. It helps the plane increase lift during takeoff or landing procedures. And the passenger who captured this cell phone video recounts that frightening scene.
I heard this incredibly violent vibration, and it didn't last for very long. And it was very loud. I was like, that's not normal at all.
Can you imagine watching the plane fall apart? It was a Boeing 757, and FAA rep says that the agency is investigating and stressed that flying is still the safest form of transportation by far. This latest incident comes, though, after the door plug blew off the Alaska Airlines jets made by Boeing back in January.
This is canine officer Pac-Man, employed by the Dunn Police Department. He has 7 years of experience, but now the beloved canine officer is the subject of a tug of war between his former handler and the department. Should he retire now that his handler is no longer on the force? A passionate debate about Pac-Man happened at a public hearing last night in Dunn. People argue that Pac-Man should be taken off the force and given to his longtime handler. They have a petition online with more than 42,000 signatures, and a GoFundMe account has raised thousands to pay for Pac-Man's replacement on the force.
We have the money to get a new canine with training. So you tell me what's going on.
And Dunn's police chief says Pac-Man still has working years left, and a replacement would cost $9,000, not including training or maintenance. Pac-Man lived in a shelter as he was being introduced to his new handler. He is now living with that officer and ready to go back to work.
Overachievers, you want to listen up. Your extra work outside the office could be contributing to your downfall instead of landing you that promotion. Now, Ted Lindner takes a look at how detaching from your job could make you a better worker.
The key to becoming a better employee could be thinking less about your job. That's according to research from Allison Gabriel at Purdue University, which finds it's especially difficult for leaders to perform well if they can't separate work from their personal lives.
Rather than going home at the end of the day and taking time to detach and mentally disconnect, what we'll see sometimes is leaders will continue to ruminate and think about work-related issues or problems that they have. And what that does is it makes them come back the next day to work feeling less energized.
This is because people's emotional, physical, and mental bandwidths can only withstand so much.
Even though it might feel good to keep working, you feel like you're checking more things off your list, what we actually see is that that contributes to really problematic well-being states that harm people's productivity, that harm people's performance.
Researchers found other employees even benefit from when managers use their time away from the office to recuperate.
People that they supervise will rate them as more transformational, as having greater power at work.
But disconnecting is getting harder to do in the age of remote and hybrid jobs.
Try not to bring work into your leisure spaces. You know, if you're going to work at home, let's not do this somewhere where you typically try to psychologically detach.
If you can't stop thinking about work when you're off the clock, Gabriel recommends trying to think positively about what you have to accomplish instead of stressing over it.
Even though it is not detaching, it's not a pure form of recovery, that tends to be a lot more adaptive. It's less straining.
Ted Lindner reporting there. Wendell Woman's sign is at the center of controversy with an intense message for speeding drivers. Coming up, why that sign is no longer there.
And Wake schools are joining a lawsuit against four major social media companies. Why they say these tech companies are to blame for students' poor mental health. That's also ahead.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Brian Schrader tracking some backups in Knightdale. Brian.
On 87 southbound, a crash just before you get to the Smithfield Road interchange. You can see that vehicle there in the median. We've seen a lot of improvement here over the past few minutes, but still you're going to run into a little bit of a delay between Wendell Falls Parkway and Smithfield Road. If you can pick up 87 southbound from Smithfield Road or 540, you'll be on the other side of those backups. Look out for a crash on 64 eastbound around the US 1 interchange as you head out of Apex toward Cary. That also looks like it's starting to improve a little bit on the sensor readings. Still measuring some backups, though, in both directions of US 70 because of a crash at Miami Boulevard on the east side of Durham.
It's a pretty morning out there. We take a live look at Sanford. Nothing but blue sky. Yesterday, we had a lot of high, thin clouds. We'll see more sunshine today than yesterday, but there may be a few high, thin clouds from time to time. It's definitely been a cold start with our temperatures in the upper 20s to low 30s. But as we're getting a little closer to 9 o'clock, looking at the temperatures warming up a bit. And this afternoon, we'll climb into the upper 50s. So it's a little cold for exercise outside this morning, but we'll warm up nicely this afternoon. And if you're exercising this evening, temperatures will be falling into the low 50s. Today stays dry, but we're looking at some rain by Friday morning. All right, thanks, Elizabeth.
The person who fired shots at a vehicle causing it to crash is on the run this morning. The Wake County Sheriff's Office says it happened on Mitchell Mill Road near Rollsville around 8 p.m. Two people were hurt in the crash and taken to the hospital. And school leaders in Wake County are joining a lawsuit against four social media companies. The board voted unanimously at its meeting last night. They say the companies are to blame for a growing mental health crisis among young people. Next on Fox 50, area hospitals are seeing fewer COVID, flu, and RSV cases, but we are not in the clear yet. The one thing to do if your child has a fever.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's a chilly start this morning. Right now, temperatures are in the low to mid 30s, but we have some warmer air that will arrive by tomorrow. I'll show you the pattern change that brings it our way.
Some area hospitals are seeing fewer cases of respiratory illnesses. The most important thing doctors say parents should do if their child has a fever.
And the search is on for a person who fired shots at a moving Jeep, causing it to crash in Wake County. What radio traffic reveals about the moments before the gunfire? We'll have that and more on your Wednesday morning. Made it halfway through the week. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for making us part of your Wednesday here. Lots of sunshine to go around, just like we have the first few days this week. Lots of cold out there as well. And we should be used to this. It's still February. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. But I'm feeling a warm-up on the way.
Yes, it's going to be nice the next couple of days. Today's still going to be a little bit on the chilly side. Lots of sunshine. Tomorrow will be nice and bright. Tomorrow, our wind shifts to southerly. Right now, our wind is coming out of the northeast. It's light at 3 miles per hour, but it is still pulling in some cool air. So highs will be close to yesterday in the upper 50s. As our wind shifts to southerly, that's going to help to bring our temperatures on up into the 60s tomorrow. And again on Friday. But stepping out the door, it's pretty chilly out there still. 33 in Southern Pines, 35 Goldsboro. It's 31 in Rocky Mount and 32 up in South Hill. Wind chill-wise, about an hour or so ago, we had temperatures feeling like the 20s. And it's still pretty cold as you're stepping out the door. Our temperatures after lunchtime climb into the upper 50s. And this evening, we'll see temperatures even at 6 o'clock still at 50. So a pleasant afternoon, but even warmer tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a really nice day to get outside. Friday, we'll be dodging some showers for part of the day. We'll walk through the timeline coming up. Brian?
Elizabeth, need to update you on these crashes that we've been following around the Triangle. Some good news, first of all, in Knightdale. That earlier crash on 87 southbound just before you get to Smithfield Road has cleared. Traffic is flowing freely. We are measuring some delays on the south side of Raleigh on 40 westbound, especially between Rock Quarry Road out to Lake Wheeler Road. There's a report of a disabled vehicle on 40 westbound around Lake Wheeler Road, possibly contributing to that 8-minute backup. Once you get through Lake Wheeler, it looks fine heading out toward Gorman Street. That earlier crash in Carrion, 64 eastbound around the US 1 Tryon Road interchange, appears to have cleared. Still a little bit of a lingering delay as you head away from Laura Duncan Road through Lake Pine Drive. And in Durham, we still have some lingering backups on 70 in both directions after an earlier crash at Miami Boulevard. It's just going to take a while for traffic volume to ease up enough to let that work itself out. Want to head up to Granville County in Oxford, where we have reports of a crash that has closed 158 in both directions right around that I-80 interchange. You can see the delays showing up on the sensors through there. Expect a detour as you head through that area. We're working to get some more details about that crash.
All right, thank you, Brian. This morning, a person who fired shots at a vehicle is on the run. It all happened near Rollsville, causing a crash. Mitchell Mill Road near Rollsville was shut down into the early morning hours. And WRL's Laura Levine is at the Way County Sheriff's Office. And Laura, we're learning two people were hurt in this crash.
Absolutely. Good morning, Michelle. Those two people are recovering this morning. We're also getting a closer look at what may have happened through Broadcastify radio traffic, indicating that street racing and road rage could have played a factor into all of this. Take a look at some of that video from the scene where you can see multiple crews responded. The Wake County Sheriff's Office says shots were fired at a vehicle on Mitchell Mill Road near Roseville around 8 o'clock last night. The Sheriff's Office and the Roseville Police Department responded to that report of a vehicle hit by gunfire, which crashed while traveling west. A Jeep Wrangler and a dark-colored SUV were traveling when the shots were fired at the Jeep, causing the vehicle to drive off the road and flip onto its side. Take a listen to that Broadcastify radio traffic detailing the situation.
It's going to be the intersection of Mitchell Mill Road and Jonesville Road. Mitchell Mill Road and Jonesville Road. Roseville is currently heading out that way. It's going to be in reference to two cars are racing and one car shooting at the air.
The driver and passenger of that Jeep was taken to a nearby hospital. They sustained non-life-threatening injuries from the crash. Anyone with information about the whereabouts of this driver or what may have happened there on Mitchell Mill Road is asked to give authorities a call. Laura Levine, WRL News. We are live in Raleigh.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, jury selection begins today in the trial of Hannah Gutierrez-Reed. She is the armorer on the set of the movie Rust when cinematographer Helena Hutchins died from a gunshot wound. The trial marks one of the most significant legal proceedings in Hollywood's extensive film industry. Gutierrez-Reed had pleaded not guilty to the charges and maintained she's not directly responsible for Hutchins' death. Alec Baldwin also facing charges of involuntary manslaughter and tampering in this case. Of course, we'll keep you updated as this case unfolds.
A 33-year-old man is facing a murder charge after a shooting in Raleigh. Pacheco Valentin was arrested last night after that shooting on North New Hope Road. Sky 5 flew over the scene yesterday at the Lexington Apartments, which are right near the intersection of Capitol Boulevard. Police responded just before 11:30 in the morning and found a woman there with serious gunshot wounds. She later died, and it's still not clear what led to the shooting.
Additional law enforcement will be at a Moore County middle school today after students went home early yesterday because of a bomb threat. Officials say they received the threat to Cranes Creek Middle School at 2:45 Tuesday afternoon, just 15 minutes before regular dismissal. All students and staff evacuated the building as police searched that campus. Students were sent home without being allowed back inside, and the school district will have support teams at the school today for any students or staff who may need it.
School leaders in Wake County are joining a lawsuit against four social media companies. The board voted unanimously at its meeting last night, saying the companies are to blame for a growing mental health crisis among young people. Wake County joins forces with hundreds of other school boards across the country, including 11 here in North Carolina, fighting to protect students' mental health. School leaders argue constant access is addicting and harmful to students, and schools have had to handle the fallout of psychological damage caused by their apps. Parents hope the lawsuit forces social media giants to take responsibility and modify how their apps operate.
I'm really proud of the Wake County Board for representing our community, being a leader, and showing that they care about our students more than the companies.
We reached out to the social media companies. We're waiting to hear back. In terms of financial impact, the district would only pay the legal fees if it wins the lawsuit. COVID, flu, and RSV cases in some area hospitals are down, but concern is still high about the illness spreading. Today, we'll get an update on the current trends in our state. WRL's Kelsey Coffey tells us we may have passed the peak of the season.
We checked in with UNC, Duke, and Wake Med hospitals about their latest numbers. Here at Wake Med, less than 80 people are hospitalized for COVID, flu, and RSV combined. New numbers will be released from the state later today. Wake Med has 63 COVID hospitalizations, the highest out of all three of those hospitals. It's down from 67 last month. UNC Health is reporting COVID hospitalizations have increased to 33, up from 30 last month. Duke Health is reporting the largest decrease in COVID hospitalizations from last month to this month. 30 hospitalizations this week compared to 45 last month. Dr. Daniel Park with the Pediatric Emergency Department at UNC Medical Center has a message for parents this morning. He says, don't send your child to school if they have a fever.
If they're having active symptoms and, you know, and they have a fever, please keep them home so that we can prevent the spread across larger populations.
Dr. Park says although cases are trending downward, we're still not out of the woods. He says hospital capacity is still a major concern for them. Those state numbers should be released later this afternoon. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News in Raleigh.
And today, Durham County leaders will meet to decide how to put opioid settlement money to the best use. Members of the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners will meet in Durham later today. A big topic they'll discuss is a program that offers medication for people with opioid use disorder at the Durham County Sheriff's Office. In 2019, DCSO launched a program to help detainees with treatment while they're at the Durham County Detention Facility. Nearly 500 people suffering from opioid use disorder have been helped in the detention center.
We'll learn more today about an upcoming hearing of a black man challenging his death sentence, saying race played a role in his case. Hassan Bakot was sentenced to death after he was found guilty of first-degree murder in the death of Anthony Searles during a robbery in Selma. Bakot is challenging his death sentence under North Carolina's Racial Justice Act. He argues that race played a role in the jury selection. Today, Bakot's attorneys will discuss the significance of the upcoming hearing and its implications for all death penalty cases in the state. Monday, that hearing begins in Johnston County.
A Durham school bus driver celebrated by students and staff that love her. How she's being honored for getting more than two dozen students off a bus before it burst into flames.
And 1 week after Valentine's Day, we take a dramatic turn. Today is National Breakup Day. A relationship expert weighs in on the most effective way to move forward.
Oh, boy. All right. You're looking live in at Raleigh on this beautiful, sunny Wednesday morning. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tells us about the spring-like warm-up just ahead. Welcome back on your Wednesday morning. This is a beautiful live look over Durham, just at the DBAP there. Beautiful blue skies and sunshine. Chilly, but we're going to warm up nicely. Much of the same over in North Hills, where Elizabeth is looking over gorgeous blue skies to start our Wednesday. Look at this, a live look here at North Hills. And we're seeing this everywhere right now. It has been a cold start with clear skies. We tend to see any daytime heating evaporating or lifting out into the atmosphere very, very quickly. 33 right now is our current temperature. We tend to see the coldest temperature this time of year right about 7 a.m. So here we are almost 9. So we're starting to see the temperatures creep up slowly. But we should hit 50s by lunchtime. We'll be in the upper 50s for highs this afternoon with all that gorgeous sunshine. We've been watching the wind chill this morning. It's starting to ease up a little bit, but there's still some spots that feel really cold. In Fayetteville, it's 36, but it feels like 29. It feels like 29 in Goldsboro. It feels like 24 in Rocky Mount. It feels like 29 in Roxboro. But again, temperatures should warm up quickly now that we're getting, you know, closer to 9, 10 o'clock. 58 in Raleigh, 58 Durham, and 60 in Fayetteville. Those will be the highs that we'll see today. Today's been chilly because we're looking at a northeasterly wind. That will start to shift late today and into the day tomorrow. When we get into this southerly flow tomorrow, ahead of a cold front, that will feel much warmer. We're going to climb into the mid-60s. But tomorrow,
tomorrow morning will still be on the chilly side. Here's a look at satellite and radar. We're tracking a front that's well to our west. It's going to be a fairly dry front, but we'll likely end up with some showers early on Friday. What a beautiful sunset yesterday. You remember all those high, thin clouds? That can make for a beautiful sunrise or sunset. And Rupert Hester caught this one at Lake Holt, which is up in Butner, just north of Durham. Beautiful, beautiful view out there. So we would love to share your photos as well. Be a weather watcher. Go to WRL.com, search weather watchers, drop your photos, and we would love to show them on TV. Speaking of those beautiful sunsets, they're a little later and later this time of year. Tonight, the sunset is at 6:02. March 1st, it's at 6:10, but it jumps to 7:18 by March 10th. That's when we go back to daylight time. And then the first day of spring on March the 19th, it's 7:26. 57 is our normal high. Going to throw a lot of numbers at you. That's our normal high. We'll see very close to that today. And then we're in the mid-60s on Thursday and Friday. Behind Friday's front, it's cooler back into the 50s Saturday and Sunday. We've had mild enough temperatures to start to see a little bit of pollen, a little tree pollen. We're looking at medium tree pollen today. Weeds and grasses will likely stay low. It's going to be the tree pollen that we watch closely. With those warmer temperatures Thursday, it's likely to be high. We've had an early start to the pollen this season. You probably haven't noticed much of the yellow pine pollen yet. Well, I'll tell you what, we get into March and it's going to be on with the pollen for sure. We'll see a little bit of that, whatever's out there, washed away on Friday morning with a few stray showers. It may rain a little bit on Saturday night. On Sunday, we should stay dry but cooler at 58. Nice warm temperatures for a Monday and Tuesday, but we may remain unsettled into next week too.
Dry. And happening now in the WRL Live Center is shaping up to be another tough day on Wall Street, expected to open in red for a second straight day. Let's take a look at the big board this morning. You can see Dow futures off more than 70 points. Similarly, S&P, NASDAQ futures also negative territory this morning. Today, investors will get a look at the minutes from January's Federal Reserve meeting. Many analysts believe the Fed will not drop interest rates as soon or as much as first thought. We'll, of course, have the opening numbers in our next hour of news right here on Fox 50.
A Durham school bus driver saved her students from this. That's a bus on fire. She got her kids off of that bus before it started catching on fire, and she's now being honored as a hero. That bus burst into flames Friday, just moments after Deanna Washington helped those kids get out. And then yesterday, students and staff honored Washington with a big celebration at Brogdon Middle School. 28 kids were on that bus when it caught on fire. Washington was greeted at the school yesterday afternoon with cheers, flowers, a Brogdon Hero t-shirt, and a lot of hugs.
Because I love the kids. Love the kids. Love the kids. That's it.
Yeah, the district says the bus had its most recent state inspection February 7th. Durham Fire Department told WRL the investigation will continue, but it appears the fire started in the engine compartment.
A Wendell woman says a sign she put up meant to deter speeding has been stolen after it received a lot of attention online. The sign on Riley Hill Road shared a blunt message. If you do not slow down, I hope you die on this road. Linda Jones says someone stole it on Saturday. She says that she's seen too many crashes on the road over the years, and her child survived being hit years ago. She says she knows her sign was harsh, but she wanted to get people's attention.
I'm sorry, that might have been a little cruel, but the people that are passing these cars doing 45, they're going to kill somebody's loved members, true.
WRL has reported on crashes in this area, including January last year, when investigators say a vehicle crossed the center line one night and led to a crash that hurt two people. And in 2018, authorities say a man died after he and his brother crashed their car after drinking while speeding up to 100 miles per hour.
We're headed to Wilson to honor our WRL Teacher of the Week. And Brian Schrader introduces us to an English teacher who couldn't believe she's going to be on TV.
So it was just like a complete switcheroo.
Olympia Jenkins is an English teacher at Wilson Early College Academy. And one of her students, Gideon Probst, sent me an email nominating her as WRAL's Teacher of the Week.
She's just an awesome teacher, and she really helped me understand everything this last semester.
How about a round of applause for Ms. Jenkins?
So we surprised Ms. Jenkins in the middle of class. Jenkins always knew she wanted to be a teacher.
Funny story. I thought I was going to be a chorus teacher, but here I am teaching English.
She loves the kinds of conversations that come up in English classes.
Like
having those class discussions with them. I like hearing their opinions and hearing their laughs when I tell a joke about something in the lesson. I like just interacting with them.
Jenkins is working on her doctorate, but for now, she's just happy to be WREL's Teacher of the Week.
So I always see this segment, so it's going to be very surreal seeing myself on this segment.
In Wilson, I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
There was. How was it, Ms. Jenkins? I thought you were great. If you'd like to nominate a teacher, go to WRAL.com, search Teacher of the Week. Well, the sky is not falling, but a space satellite is. The European Space Agency says one of its 5,000-pound satellites will likely re-enter Earth's atmosphere today. Most of the satellite is expected to burn up before it reaches Earth. The satellite was used for nearly 30 years to collect data on the Earth's polar caps, oceans, and natural disasters. The agency says the re-entry is natural, but it cannot predict exactly when or where it will land.
Oh, some hearts will be breaking today because today is National Breakup Day, a day to reflect on past relationships and realize your own personal growth gained from those experiences. Anna Eliopoulos tells us about the most effective way to move forward.
Last week was full of love and romance, but for some, this week will take a dramatic turn as we tumble from Valentine's Day into National Breakup Day. Observed on February 21st, the holiday gives people the opportunity to reflect on their past relationships and appreciate the growth they've made in the wake of the split.
It's a time to kind of honor who you are and what it is that you want.
If you're just getting out of a relationship, dating strategist and therapist Kimmy Seltzer suggests starting out by grieving the time you spent together, by looking at the challenges and celebrating the positive parts of the relationship before dating again.
It is crucial to really take a look at yourself and not only look at the things that you want, but what are some of the things that you can do within yourself to change.
Seltzer says it's important to stay active and spend time with friends, taking time to grieve, but not dwelling on it.
Because as too much time goes on, the harder it is to crawl out. So balance that out with getting out the door, you know, seek support, get, you know, a therapist, a coach, friends that you can talk to about it, but also have a little fun along the way, too.
How long it takes to heal from a breakup is different for everyone and depends on several factors, including the length and intensity of the relationship, what kind of partnership it was, and how it ended. Seltzer says once you start finding some closure, that's a good time to start exercising your dating muscle.
It's not with the purposes of getting back into a relationship. It's getting social. It's getting back to you. It's getting back to feeling like, you know, a new person again, and also getting your sexy back.
A good indicator that you're ready to jump back into another serious relationship is when you can say your former partner's name without intense negative or positive feelings, according to Seltzer.
And that was Anna Eliopoulos reporting. Well, Beyonce tops the charts again, this time Billboard's Hot Country Songs for the first time, becoming the first Black woman to do so. Beyonce's Texas Hold'em gained 19.2 million streams, earning her the number one spot, and 16 Carriages landed her at number nine with 10.3 million streams. The mother of the Beehive has now held the number one spot in seven different categories on the Billboard charts. Beyonce's latest project, Act Two, leaves the bee's nest on March 12th. And before we head to break, here are last night's winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.